Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, it's Monday morning here in Kentucky, and it's very wet and very dreary, and I am Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 5th, 2011, episode 286, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's Monday.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be back in the studio here, Jamie. We had a great trip, and I have a couple other things to tell you about from the weekend, but it's also nice to be sitting on my ball back in the studio.
To be not within arm's reach of me, is that what you were going to say?
I didn't say that. I didn't come out and say that. Not me.
It's okay. I understand. It's totally fine. Yeah, I mean, I did not actually go to the Christmas parade because my husband had to work over the weekend, and those are 12-hour days. And so I decided to come home on Saturday morning, and, oh, my God, it's a good thing I did. Let me just put it that way. But I didn't get to hear about the parade at all, and I guess you're going to tell us about that coming up, huh?
Yeah, a little bit later we'll talk about the parade. And also, you and I got to do something not too many people get to do. And that is, we got to go to the barns at Disneyland and visit all the horses there and get a tour. It doesn't happen too often, so we're going to talk a little bit about that and the horses they have over there. One incredible horse that they have over there as well. But, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show? We've been kind of rushed this morning because we got in late last night, and I don't even know if she's had time to figure out what's on today's show. So,
on today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, it's all random, generally gut-busting adventure day.
All right, that's good.
That's good. Yeah, that's all she's got. That's cool. You put that together pretty quick.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, we're going to actually remember last week, you guys, when we talked to my cousin's daughter, which would be, I guess, my cousin. She was going to the NRHA Nationals up in Oklahoma City after Thanksgiving. Well, we're going to, because they got in really late as well, we're actually going to talk to Diane, Samantha's mom, who was there, obviously, and kind of get the mom's perspective on watching your daughter compete and find out how she did, because I have no idea. I have no idea what happened.
Okay.
So we'll talk to her.
We're just and all full of knowledge this morning, aren't we? Hey, we have somebody else.
I didn't.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to say I wasn't able to check. They didn't post it on Facebook or anything like that. So usually you would expect something. So we'll see what happens. You know, maybe not everything is always a happy ending. Maybe it's going to be. We don't know. And then you found a guest, too, for today.
Yeah, David Saunders is coming on. He was the coachman to the Queen. Remember, we've had him on before. He was such a popular guest, great storyteller. And he's coming on a little later in the show to talk to us about what Christmas was like at the castle. So he's going to talk to us about what Christmases were like when you're the coachman to the Queen and tell us some of the story. He told me he has some tales to share, so I'm sure they'll be good as well. And we got some news also today and just whatever else. If you want to give us a call in chat, give us a call at 347-637-3238. And we also are back to doing the – My Daily Winnie goes out to Lisa Rogers and everyone in Norco for the wonderful time putting together everything that happened last week. Lisa from First Time Events did a terrific job lining up the guests and our activities for the whole time. They were all terrific. We had a blast out there. Definitely a town you have to go visit, but we wanted to thank everybody for what they did and putting that all together. And also, I have a happy birthday to Anita Nemtin Gilmore of Top Notch Farms in Canada. It's her birthday today. So happy birthday, Anita.
Well, I didn't get to do this last week because it came in the mail right before we left for Norco, and you wouldn't let me do daily winnings in Norco. So my daily winnie from last week, now I guess this is a whole week, unprecedented whole week of daily winnies, goes to Rhonda Crabtree, because remember Rhonda went to the Royal Winter Fair, I believe, and that's where she saw she's the show jumping, and she sent me one of the Hickstead armbands.
Really? They're hard to come by. They're like people beating each other up for those.
Really? So if I saw... No, I'm just kidding. Make some cash. Yes, it's really beautiful. It's such a nice thing. I mean, it's probably about, 5 inches wide. And it's a material, like a canvas material, khaki kind of cloth, dyed black, and it says Hickstead in cursive on it. And you wear it around your arm when you jump. So I think I'm going to compete in it. Why not? You know, in honor of Hickstead, I'll wear it with my show.
In the show jumping phase.
Yes, there you go. I'll do it during the show jumping phase in honor of Hickstead. But yeah, Rhonda, thank you so much. Yeah, it was very nice. I'll tell you, in all my history of doing radio, I have never given away to a listener, because mind you, I was living in Atlanta, like. It's kind of a sketchy place sometimes. To have a listener email me for my personal home address, not a chance. Now, of course, Rhonda, I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, here's my address. Go ahead, come to my house. I don't care. It'd be great.
Rhonda's part of our legacy club, too. She's listened to every show. She is one of the very few. Yeah, I think you can trust Rhonda.
Yeah, no, totally. I just thought
it's too bad.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. So I'm like, I can't believe I just did that. But you know what? This is not the same job I used to do.
No, you used to be that girl that talked about dating guys all the time. You had guys stalking you. So I could understand why you weren't giving out anything.
I don't know if it was that bad. But yeah, it definitely was fun. But, you know, tell me a little bit, because I did not get to go to the Parade of Lights, the Christmas Parade in Norco. How was that?
It was a blast. We had a great time. Our driver, Wendy, took us in this very fancy carriage, which I'll post pictures here in a little bit. Took us on this very fancy carriage. We were the celebrity marshals. There was a grand marshal and then the celebrity marshal. So we got to be like second in the parade, which was kind of neat. And this parade was all horses. It had to be either horses or tractors. There wasn't any other wheeled vehicles allowed. And there were horse groups of all kinds, from drill teams to just people on horses. I mean, there were carriages and wagons, a lot of wagons and carriages this time. They said more than usual. And just, you know, they had the band and, you know, all the usual stuff you would see at a parade. But mostly it was like 25, 30 units of horses. And people riding all different breeds. We didn't get to see much of the parade because we were in the parade. So we didn't get to see much of it. We just saw everybody lining up for the parade. But it was fun. We got to wave to everybody. I've never said Merry Christmas so many times in a period of 2 miles in my life. And I think I have now perfected the royal wave. I think I got that down.
Good.
It was fun. We had a great time. First time ever doing something like that. And it was freezing cold. Just like the rest of our evenings in Norco. We had to come home here to Lexington and warm up. It was chilly out there. And cool. Remember what I told you, that when we travel, bad weather follows? Well, of course, we go out to California, and there was one of two things that were going to happen. There was going to be an earthquake, which we didn't have happen, or there was going to be some wind. Well, the Santa Ana winds were the worst they've been in, what, 20 years or something? Did all kinds of damage to Pasadena. Of course, we're there. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a story. I mean, that's all the news story was. People were losing homes because the trees were splitting them in half. I mean, it was definitely crazy winds out there. So, yeah, I'm not traveling with you anymore. We're done.
Yeah, well, we didn't have an earthquake, so that was a positive. Just a little 60, 70, 80-mile-an-hour wind. What the heck?
It's hurricanes. Yeah.
And then
you
and I got to go on Friday, and Jennifer out to. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you this funny story about the parade. So I have this gray beard, and everybody thought all these little kids kept saying Santa Claus, Santa Claus, and
pointing to. Oh my gosh, Glenn, gray beard, and now you need to lose weight. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You know, another couple of years, I grow the beard longer, I will be able to be Santa Claus. I'll have to gain a little weight, though. I'm not quite fat enough for that. But I'll have to gain a little weight and do that. But on Friday, the three of us went out, and we got a tour of Disney, of the stables there at Disney. Of course, they have the driving horses that pull the trolleys along Main Street. So they have all big draft horses there of all different breeds. But, you know, there were a couple observations I took from the stables. They're right behind Magic Kingdom. I mean, you could see the backdrop of the set. Yeah. Oh, are you still there, Jamie?
Yeah, I'm right here. I said it was the back of Toontown that we were looking at there, where we went into the barn entrance. And I really didn't know that there was that much history. Because I had learned new stuff, and all of them are draft horses. I mean, they just have draft horse after draft horse. I'll let you talk about it because I've never been that close to that many draft horses in my life. I mean, aside from petting one that's taken a carriage ride in a city, I've never really been around draft horses. It was amazing. Amazing.
Well, they had one there that was 19 and a half hands tall. Now, the largest that Jennifer and I have owned is 18 and a half. There's a big, what seems like an enormous difference between 18 and a half and 19 and a half. When you start getting up that high, I swear, Jamie, you could have walked under that horse's nose without bending over. It was huge. That was a huge horse. 19 and a half hands, they said it weighed in at 2,100 pounds. A couple things, though, about the stables there is because they're right behind there's not a lot of turnout. They do have a turnout area. They have all sand there. There's no grass or anything. There's all sand. But it's right in the middle of, right behind the stables is all of the warehouses and buildings where they store everything and all the back operations, which was kind of cool to see, but all the back operations there. And so it's right in the middle of all of that. These horses are bomb-proof because they set off some of the fireworks on the building right behind the stable every night. They're bomb-proof horses. But the place was immaculate. They feed them very good hay. Oh, my God, that was some of the nicest hay I've ever seen. And these horses are well taken care of. And the one thing about draft horses that you usually see is that their feet are cracked. Even ours, they have this habit of having cracked feet. That's just the way draft horses are. And their feet are so big. But their feet were immaculate. These were well taken care of horses. Their feet were terrific. I couldn't believe how nice they were.
When she told me that every time the hay came in, they sent it off to be tested before they fed it, like to test the protein content and whatever you test hay for, that was impressive enough to me. But yeah, every one of these draft horses had good feet, you know, just the common things. They were well fed. They looked good. They weren't skinny or they weren't really obese. They were all very fit looking and had really good feet and had fantastic coats and, you know, had been groomed to the nines. So they were very well taken care of. And I wish we could have taken pictures. Of course, they wouldn't allow cameras back there. But, oh, my God, that 19-2 hand horse, I stood next to it and I did the whole, like, you know, put the hand on my head and reach out to see where I came up to. I came just above the point of that horse's shoulder.
I know. Well, I could not reach the top of his head, and I'm 6'1". They did say they used, step ladders to put the harness and the bridle on.
Unless you had Andre the Giant out there putting the harness on, you'd have to.
It was huge. That was a huge horse. And one of the things I learned, too, when she took us on a tour of the little house that's there, is that the caretaker for the farm actually was the only one to live on Disney property. There was a little tiny house there, and he lived there for, what, 27 years or something? And he was the caretaker for the farm. He's the only one to live on Disney property, with the exception of Walt, when he stayed in his apartment there in Magic Kingdom. But I didn't know that Walt was a huge horse person. He used to ride the parades. He was the one that really had horses introduced into Disneyland. I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, and apparently he was an avid polo player as well. Yeah, we learned a lot. It was a great tour, and again, thanks to Lisa for setting that up and everybody who was involved in that. It definitely was thrilling. Now, what was not so thrilling was standing in lines at Disneyland. Dear God,
oh,
everybody
my God.
West of the Mississippi was at Disneyland that day.
Oh,
it was
my
insane.
God. It was packed. And Disneyland, I'm so used to Disney World that's about three times the size of Magic Kingdom and Disney World is about three times the size of Disneyland. And it was just packed. I couldn't believe how many people were there. It was hard to walk at times. It was
that busy. It really was. So we got to ride Space Mountain and we rode Splash Mountain. But after that, I think I'd have had about as much as waiting in line as I could take. And I took off because I drove separately. So you guys, because you usually like to stay to the bitter end because you're a parade guy. Did you make it till the end?
No. The crowds got about double as bad after you left. There were people still streaming in, and when we left about 8 o'clock, the people were still coming in. It was amazing. That place was so busy. You could not tell there's a recession by Disneyland last Friday. There was no indication of that whatsoever. But we did what was the stuff that Jennifer got at lunch that was unbelievable? What was
that
called?
I don't know.
What was it? Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
Cheese Monte Cristo. That was just unbelievable. So eat in New Orleans when you go there. When you go to Disneyland, eat it in New Orleans at the one place that serves the Monte Cristos. They were out of this world. So that was our recommendation from Disney. Well, terrific trip. Had a lot of fun. So much. Now we're back to the grind of talking about Christmas things here for the next couple of weeks as we lead up to the holidays. And of course, you know, Christmas is a very special time for horse people as well, because, you know, we have that extra magic of having horses at Christmas time. Although,
yeah.
I hear the magic wasn't as good when you came home on Saturday or Sunday. What happened?
Yeah, my gosh. You know, I just think that the good Lord knows when to make things happen and when not to, and maybe my horse did too. You know, I was gone all week long, and all the horses, when I came home, looked great. My husband did such an awesome job taking care of the farm and the horses. And, I mean, he obliterated our haystack, which means he just kept feeding them, which is unlike him because he's a little more conservative. And he just fed them tons and took good care of them. Not a scratch on any of them. Then I wake up Sunday morning, and I go for a ride. I come back, and my husband is in the stall with Jet, my event horse, and Jet is down. And, you know, we had one of those things where Saturday was gorgeous. It was beautiful here. Saturday night, the temperature plummeted south. I blanketed everybody, but it was down to about 42 degrees on Saturday night. And so Sunday morning, you know, really cold and almost humid, you know. The weather just did a major change, and Jet was down in his stall and couldn't get him up. And he's had bouts of colic before because he had the ulcer problems. And I thought maybe he was just having a little episode, but I treated him, did the whole ulcer treatment 2 weeks ago, so he shouldn't have an ulcer right now. And I've never seen him like that before, the way he was yesterday. It was like, you know, he was down. I climbed, I got on his head and put the halter on. I had to pull his head up to slide the halter through. I mean, he was in more pain than I've ever seen him. And granted, he is very sensitive. Like, he's totally a draw queen. Like, he stepped on his foot and he was lame for like a week. I mean, he's just kind of a baby. So part of me was like, oh, you're just being a wuss, you know, get up. Oh, my God. He was not going to get up. I had a student with me who's, you know, about my age. And so we were wrestling. We were pulling on the rope. I had Chad get behind Jet and try to get him, you know, like slap him in the butt, trying to get him to get up. We finally get him up. And, you know, of course, I immediately call the vet. And she cannot come out. She cannot get there for about 2 hours. So, you know, it was one of those, okay, I got to give you some Vanamine. So I run in and I get the syringe, and I've been back for 10 years, you know, so I know how to give the IV shots. So I go to try to get the IV in him. He will have none of it. He is thrashing around so much that he slammed Chad into the bars of the fence, and I was still wearing full chaps, but he kicked me in the leg trying to get around to the side of him. I mean, he was going bananas. And here's Chad and my student and I trying to wrestle with this horse in the stall. Finally, we get him out of the stall, and he's, you know, he's just doing the pawing and striking and trying to lay down, and somehow I get the Vanamine into him, and I'm just kind of waiting, like, okay, you know, usually once you give the Vanamine, about 15 minutes, he's fine. Well, he was not fine in 15 minutes, so... The long story short, the vet came out, you know, pumped him full of electrolytes, Maalox. He actually had broken out in hives at some point, so she gave him Dex. She pumped him full of water and all sorts of stuff. So within about an hour of her being there, he finally started to feel better. She wrestled him and felt a little bit of an impaction, lots of gas. And apparently everything that we pumped into him, oh, just a gallon of mineral oil, must have done the trick and pushed it through, and giving him the Dex helped a lot too, I think. And then he started feeling better. And I just checked him right before the show started, and he's up and looking for food. But just one of those unexplainable colics.
Well, you're right about the timing, too, because, my God, if that had happened the day before or, you know, any of the time we were gone last week, talk about timing. I mean, poor Chad. I had to take care of one or two colics when Jennifer wasn't there, and I think I was on the phone with her the entire time. You know, it's something that, as a horse husband, we never want to deal with because we're not good at that.
No. Well, I mean... He was good at it when I was there to kind of delegate.
Exactly. Right.
Like, I could not have said to him, hey, run into the, on the phone, run into the, to the tack room and grab the Vanamine, draw up 10 cc's and plug it in his vein. You know, I mean, that's just not going to happen. So, my gosh, I did have to run to the call that the vet was at. This is another piece that was fun too. I'm like, get in the car. And I ran to the vet that came was the emergency one on call, and she did a great job, but she was so busy. She said from colic after colic after colic that day. She said she had more colics this weekend with the weather than she's had probably in the last couple months. So she was actually at a farm about a mile away. So I had to run to meet her and grab some sedation, bring him back to my house and sedate him before she got there because I'm like, I don't know what to do. He's in so much pain and thrashing around and being just almost violent. I can't leave him in his stall. I couldn't walk him anymore because he kept trying to go down when I was walking him. I'm like, I need to sedate him, and I need to sedate me.
probably the more important one.
I'm like, get the whiskey. What is whiskey going to do for him? Nothing, honey. It's for me. Oh, God, what a stressful day, though. And it's just you expect to just come home and get caught up on work and blah, 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 and nothing. Nothing.
I'll tell you what, though. Wow, when they're that bad, you got lucky that he pulled out of it without any other major problems. You really did.
I'll tell you what. I was not expecting his recovery to be like that, actually. I mean, I was thinking, okay, is he a surgical candidate? You know, what are we going to do? How much am I willing to spend? You know, and I started thinking about all that. So, Oh, it was stressful, and I'm just so lucky that he did pull through. The horse that they were working on down the road actually had to go to the referral clinic, the hospital there, so I hope it's doing okay. And just if the barometric pressure drops and everybody colics. It was tough day.
Yeah, we talked about the, you know, sand colic out there in California. You have the same problem here in Phoenix as well, don't you? Do you have to do the selenium and all that stuff?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely do. I mean, I don't feed my horses on sand, but they eat grass in the pasture and they still pick it up. So, you know, you it's just something you have to do.
Yeah, wow. Well, we are going to be getting to our guests here very shortly, but I wanted to remind everybody that Really Bad Ads will be back this Friday, so you want to get your Really Bad Ad in. I'm not sure what the prize is going to be yet this week, but I'll come up with something good, so... Get your ad in right now to Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com. That's Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com. God, I'm tired. Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com and put Really Bad Ads in the subject line. And we're looking forward. I have a picture that we're going to show you on Friday. I have two pictures that we're going to show you on Friday that we took while we were doing the trail ride around Norco. We found one of the classic trailers from Really Bad Ads again on our trail ride, didn't we?
I don't know what this was. Was this the one where the guy was sleeping in the back of the pickup truck?
No. This was actually a Really Bad Ads trailer that we found in Norco that I took a picture of. We'll show that on Friday. And it was the only place that I've ever seen a truck hanging from a tree. I've never seen a truck physically hanging from a tree before, so we'll have those pictures for you on Friday as well. Really Bad Ads Friday should be fun this week. We've been accumulating ads for a couple of weeks now, so start go to Craigslist, get your ads in for this week. I know this is already a couple of really good ones because the one made me laugh out loud when I read it. So the tough competition this week. Get your ad in.
Good. Hey, yeah, we're gonna talk to my cousin here in just a minute about. What happened this past weekend? But I got to do the commercial here and let people know about Omega Alpha. We all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. And excuse me, Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and your ponies, and that's why Omega Alpha uses only natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. The other difference with Omega Alpha is the science that goes into their products. Dr. Chang, who hopefully we'll have on next week, he is very well respected in the industry, and he's a pioneer of putting in the right natural ingredients together to make formulations that work for your horse. They have a wide range of products to help you and your horse, so see them all at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
Thank you to Omega Alpha. I think Dr. Chang is going to be on either later this week or early next week with his nutritional segment, so we have that coming up as well. And one other, while we're waiting for our guest here, I wanted to, did you know that there is going to be paramutual barrel racing, that they've started that last Thursday in Florida at Gretna Racing in North Florida?
No, hadn't heard that one. That mean you can bet on it?
You can bet on it. They have paramutual barrel racing that has started in Florida, and it's apparently they've taken a loophole in the quarter horse racing laws, and the law basically says that as long as you're using a quarter horse in a race, it doesn't specify what kind of race. So they have taken it and stretched the law and said, well, then we can use quarter horses in barrel racing and have betting. So there are the Gaming Commission and things. Actually, the Quarter Horse Association down there, the Quarter Horse Racing Association, tried to get it stopped, but the gaming authority said, well, they're abiding by the law. Technically, they can do this. So there are some locals in the area, of course, that are trying to get it stopped and everything. But, yeah, it looks like barrel racing is going to be a betting sport in Florida, at least for a while, as long as they can get away with it.
And maybe the next sport that'll have some betting done on it is the reining. We're going to talk to my cousin here in just a second, but did you see what I posted on Facebook, Glenn? It's a guy that decided to try to ride a giraffe.
I saw that.
I didn't know that giraffes could buck.
Apparently very well, too.
I guess so. Yeah, that's a long way down. So definitely go to Horses in the Morning on our Facebook page and check that out. Now we've got our guest on, Diane Tippett. Last week we talked to Samantha Tippett. She was heading out to the National Reining Horse Finals up in Oklahoma City. And we've got her mom on because apparently Samantha just can't even get out of bed. What a long weekend it was. But, of course, her her mother, who her number one fan, I guess, is on the phone with us. Good morning, Diane.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
We're great. It's so nice to have you on because, you know, we had Samantha on who I think just giggled her way through the interview last time. So
yes, she did. And she's never been speechless before. So that's one for the record books.
That is
funny
impressive.
That way with teenagers.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Yes.
Glenn said, are you the only one in your family that talks? Is she really shy? And I was like, don't let her fool you like that. I've never heard that child not talk.
Oh, no kidding. It's usually nonstop. You hope for her to go to sleep so she'll stop talking.
See, Glenn, told you. It runs in the family. Well, Diane, tell us, how was your trip to Oklahoma?
You know, it was amazing. Sam was actually up there for 9 days. And then the rest of the family, including her grandparents, we drove up for the weekend on Friday. And when we got there, if you've never been to the NRHA Futurity, it is worth a trip if you're a horse enthusiast because it is the Super Bowl of reining. I just can't even begin to describe to you the pomp and circumstance and the showmanship just out in the Super Barn where a lot of the, you know, big leaguer, you know, the Floridas and the Pawnees have their stalls. I mean, the elaborate, it looks like a movie, a Hollywood movie set, the opening to their stall areas. It's just absolutely amazing. And so we got up there, and she was already exhausted because during the week, you know, she's trying to ride and keep her horse warmed up. But, of course, they have all the different warm-up pens reserved for the people that are getting ready to show in the next two. So she was having to wake up at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning to go ride her horse. So her sleep cycle got completely, you know, upended, and then just the excitement of being there and seeing all of these, you know, heroes of hers. And she got to meet a lot of people, did a lot of networking, got to meet a lot of the assistant trainers for some of the really super, you know, the ones that go to the Olympics and the national and international competitions. So she just ate every second of it up. And then as far as her competition, she did... We were so proud of her. It was such a beautiful, clean run. She had a little bit of a tough luck because as she was coming through the circle, her horse stumbled, which she never does. But amazingly, Meadow, which is her barn name, Dunnett Soprano style, she came up on the right lead, and then she just kept going. Had it not been for that, she would have been probably in the top five. As it was, she still got a terrific score and ended up in the top quarter. So she was, you know, very proud of the run, very proud of Meadow for keeping it together in the show ring. So, and then she got some really good news, though. Her South Central team, because she qualified in the South Central region, they won. They compete against all of the other regions in the country and Canada. So she did end up getting a championship jacket. So she's thrilled about that. And I think more than anything, though, just the experience of it. And, in fact, her grandfather turned to her and said, so this is your life, Sam. And she said, this is my life for the rest of my life.
No.
And I believe it. I believe it. I think Sam's in it for the long haul, and she just loves every minute of it, even, you know, the downtime and all of those that go to horse shows. We know there's a lot of downtime, a lot of waiting around. But even that she loves. So it was just a fabulous experience all the way around. And so glad that her grandparents were able to come up from Florida and share that with her.
Now, to those who well, nobody knows, so I gotta talk a little bit about these grandparents. I was actually with them at Thanksgiving at my mom's house, and it is my Uncle Wayne and Aunt Joan. And let me tell you, I have never seen two people more proud or excited to head to a horse show in Oklahoma City in my life. I mean, that's all they talked about. But to paint a picture of your father... Okay, to say something like that to Sam, to say this is, you know, going to be the rest of your life, your father, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about him?
Well, my father's a retired captain in the Navy, was very successful. Anyone that's had family that's in the military, that certain structure that they have about themselves, and my father has always been one to demand a lot, but only because he believes that his children and grandchildren can live up to those expectations. But yeah, he puts a lot of pressure on, you know, that you've got to, you know, do the very best that you can, be the best that you can. And then the flip side, though, with his grandchildren particularly, sometimes I don't know who this man is, because he does things for them that if I had asked, he would have laughed me out of the room. And he is their biggest fan, along with, of course, my mom, who, you know, as Jamie knows, she is the true epitome of the Southern Belle and Grace incarnate. But, you know, yeah. My dad is the one that's like, do your best, do your best. You know, there's no excuse for not doing your best, however the chips fall. But with his grandchildren, you know, the sky's the limit. They'll ask him for things, and they'll ask me, well, you think granddaddy will do this? And I'm like, sure, go ahead and ask him, thinking that, you know, he'll shut them down. And then, boy, am I surprised when he says, sure. I'm like, who is this man? I don't know him.
I have witnessed that, and I've got to tell you that, Glenn, Uncle Wayne is one who has made many a boyfriend leave Thanksgiving crying, okay? The man harassed and tortured everybody, and he met his match when he met Chad. He's like, it's like Chad is okay because he's military, you know? It's like the only
and a pilot.
Fighter pilot, for God's sake. He should be all well, right. I mean, he should.
My dad's a pilot as well, so I think that gave Chad that extra tip of approval.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally, one can stay. But no, I'm not kidding you. Thanksgiving was a nightmare. He would say to every guy, he would go, nice of you to come. Jamie, nice of you to bring the photographer for the family photos. Like, seriously? These guys would be like, how many guys have come down and been the photographer? I mean, it was hell on earth, tortured by my uncle. And, to see him and to hear him say something about, you know, I think he thought I was crazy because I rode horses. And now his granddaughter does it and it's okay all of a sudden? Ugh, whatever.
No, he still thinks we're all crazy. He's just very supportive.
Okay, supportive and crazy. That's okay. I can accept that. But, yeah, well, please, I'm so glad they got to go. And I know that they were very excited. And, yeah, you're right. Your mom is just about, you know, Grace. She's much like her mother, my grandmother, so as much as they can be. So it's just been awesome having you on. Now, as a mom, the moment that she was going in that arena, that she's walking in there to do this class, what is going on in your head, your heart, your stomach, whatever?
Oh, well, first of all, when she first comes in, I instinctively shut eyes because I'm so afraid. And then I make myself open my eyes so I can watch. And, you know, just completely nervous and anxious and excited all at the same time because I know this is what she's been working for all year. And, of course, as a mom, you want it to go exceptionally well and you want for her to be recognized for all that effort that she's put into it and all the sacrifices that she's made. And then once she gets going, of course, you're watching every little, you're probably harder than the judge is, you know, looking for every little minor mistake. And, you know, and then you hope for the best. You hope that the judges will, you know, see all the extra things, the style points and whatnot. And then after the horse stumbled, of course, at this particular show, you know, my stomach kind of fell because I knew that they could hammer her for that. And they did a little bit, but I was so proud of her because once they come out of the ring, they're able to watch a video monitor and see it played back for them, and so that their trainers can stand there and kind of pick it apart and, you know, see what you did good, see what you didn't, you know, that you need to work on. And it was just so flawless, except for that little stumble. And she had such a positive attitude, you know, that, hey, it's okay, I did my best. You know, Meadow did great. You know, there's nothing we can, you know, it's a horse show. You know, things happen that are outside of your control. And she was already concentrating on, you know, this coming year. She's going for Rookie of the Year with her horse. And she was already talking about the Fort Worth Stock Show, which is the first show of the season in January. So, you know, her dad and I couldn't have been prouder of her for having that very positive attitude, because in those situations, Jamie and Glenn, you know that you can get really down on yourself that you didn't do what you wanted to do. And she just didn't. And I, to me, that's the mark of a champion.
And that's the only way she's going to succeed in the future, too. I mean, that is the mark of a champion, that, because you're going to have those days, and it, you have the great days and you have the so-so days. And you're always going to have those when you're competing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, I have a question.
Yes.
When we had Samantha on, we were talking about who her heroes were. Did she get, and one of those was Sean Florida. Did she get to meet Sean?
She did, well, in passing. Sean at shows, and the reason she thinks so highly of him is, one, you know, he is now a $4 million lifetime earning, so he was recognized at the show for that. But he's so humble, and he's so all about business, that he just doesn't get caught up in the whole celebrity part of it. And so when he's there, he's working his horses, and, you know, he's not really out there socializing. But she did get to talk to some of his assistant trainers, and Fapani was there. In fact, he won the level four futurity, and she got to meet a lot of the assistant trainers for these guys. One day, though, she gets a little starstruck, though, when he walks around. So I wasn't really expecting her to go up and say, "Hi, I'm Samantha Tippett." Because she just, it's like you and me, you know, meeting Brad Pitt or something, you know, just some Hollywood
right.
movie star. This is how she reacts. So one day, though, we're going to be at a show, and I'll do my mom thing, and I'll embarrass her, and I will walk up and introduce myself and drag her along and make sure that she gets to meet him and that he'll know her name. So,
oh,
and she'll die, of course. Man. She'll want the earth to open up and swallow her whole. But that's what moms
are
for, right? And I know, Jamie,
that's what moms are for.
You've got the same kind of mom.
Oh, without a doubt. My mom, actually, if she could get his phone number, she would just call him right now.
she would.
she certainly would. Now, random question. Is there, they do this in the sport of eventing. All the top riders will do clinics where you can sign up and pay and do a clinic. Does that happen in reining? Can you take your horse and ride with somebody for a weekend or something?
It does. It doesn't happen a whole lot. We had a friend that went out and did Fapani's clinic. A lot of them, though, you have to really know somebody or, you know, get an invite to come. Because, you know, they have to keep them very small, the clinics, and everybody in the world wants to go. So hopefully it would be lovely to find if Sean actually did a clinic and get to it. I think we'd haul the horse to Ohio in order to do that, but she would love it. That
Texas.
Would be just the highlight of her teenage years, I'm sure.
That would be awesome. And we know Sean, so he's been on our show a ton, so
any strings you can pull would be greatly appreciated. the introduction would be enough. That would be awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be
yeah.
for Christmas and birthday presents and graduation presents for here in the next 30 years.
So I wouldn't have to send a check. Okay, so I'm going to write
That's
that
it.
Down.
Yeah. Get off
That's right, no
there,
check.
Well, Diane, it's just been awesome having you on, and thank you so much for reliving it. And I'm sure that we'll have some mothers probably down the road that want to talk to you and kind of glean from your attitude, because, you know, to hear you talk about knowing that things happen and you know, knowing that it's all part of the game and you're just proud of her no matter what, it just inspires me. And I love that you took that approach, and I love hearing you talk about it. You can hear the excitement and the shine in your voice. So we're going to have you back on. And actually, our producer, Jennifer, wants to talk to you for just a second. So don't hang up when we say goodbye. Just go ahead, and we're going to put you on hold. But
okay,
thank
sure.
you so much for
thank
coming
you,
on the show. Are you there, Diane?
Well, thanks for having me on. And, Glenn, it's nice to speak to you finally. We've been avid listeners. I know Jamie said a lot of guff at the last interview with Sam that nobody in the family listens, and that is not true. I just want to go on the record.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, our two biggest episodes in my family are going to be when Sam came on and when Diane came on. Don't lie.
Okay. Thank you, Diane.
Diane.
Hold on.
All right, love
Thank
you,
you.
Well, did she sound like a proud mama or what?
Oh, I'm almost, you know me, I'm never at a loss for words, and I was almost at a loss for words hearing her describe, you know, how proud she is of her daughter, and they're just working really hard on everything, and just so excited for them.
Well, terrific. Well, good. Well, we're going to be talking a little royalty here in a little while, a couple of minutes. We're going to have David Saunders on to talk about what it was like to be at, you know, in England, working for the Queen as the Queen's coachman there at the Royal Mews at the Queen's Barn, and what it was like at Christmas time there. So how did the Queen celebrate Christmas? And did David have to work Christmases because she might want a carriage ride? So we're going to find all of that out in a minute. But first, we're going to have our daily song. And this song is brought to you by an application that Jamie uses on her iPhone all the time. It's called PocketStable.com. And it's how you keep track of your horse's information, like farrier visits and shots. You know, we've talked about this application now for 6 months, it seems like, or longer. If you haven't gotten it yet and you have an iPhone, there's a lot of new people getting iPhones right now. If you're just getting an iPhone, go to PocketStable.com or search for PocketStable in the App Store, and you will definitely have an app that you are going to use all the time, because you're going to be able to keep track of vaccines, worming, farrier, dentist visits, and even the weight of your horse. Everything is right in there. It'll give you reminders when things are due. You can do all of that at PocketStable.com. Well, we're going to play a little Tiffany for you today. Tiffany DeRose, who we had on the Thanksgiving episode,
I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a song called You Don't Know. It's a terrific song that I really like, this one. So we're going to play that today for you. And we're going to be back with David Saunders in just a minute.
Wasted heartbeats, restless nights, wasted promise, a story left untold. Why'd you have to shine your light on a heart that you could never hold? I wanna tell you I'd be lost if I should ever lose you. These
That is Tiffany DeRosier. I always have to wait because I'm not quite ever sure when the song is over. Because I'm like, oh, did you read it?
That one has like 12 endings.
I know. You can find Tiffany DeRosier on iTunes. The song is called You Don't Know. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha. And, oh, my God, Glenn, I'm so excited about Equestrian Legends this week. I cannot wait to download it and listen to it.
Yeah, the show highlight for this week is Equestrian Legends Episode 11 is out now. It's show jumper Harry DeLeyer. And, of course, we had the author of the book about Snowman, his horse, on not too long ago. Harry DeLeyer and Snowman, one of the most famous couples of all time in the horse world. And she had him on the show. I was really surprised. He's been here in the United States for, about 50 years now. His accent's still pretty thick. I was going to try and play a clip of it, but I think with his accent being so thick through our sound system that we use for the morning show wouldn't be terrific. But you can understand him. So the interview is terrific. He is very interesting guy. Not afraid to he's just an ordinary guy. He grew up with humble beginnings, who ended up with this horse and did wonderful things. It's a great interview. You haven't heard it yet, right?
No, I haven't. But I mean, when I first read the book Snowman, I said, she's got to do this. She's got to do this one on Equestrian Legends, because Harry DeLeyer is still around. He's still alive, and he's still training, and he's still a fascinating guy. So I'm so glad she got the interview. Because how old is he now? He's got to be in his 70s.
I thought it was actually 80s. I think it may be 80s. He's up there in years. Yeah, and but he has all his faculties. It was a terrific interview. Lasted almost an hour, so you can hear that. Just hop on over to horseradionetwork.com and you'll see Equestrian Legends episode number 11. And did you say, this is what reach it has, when we were on the trail ride the other day in Norco, didn't you say that you and some of the girls on the trail ride ended up talking about Harry?
Oh, yeah. Several of the women were reading the book. And, you know, when you're in the middle of reading a book, you just have to tell everybody about it. And one woman was like, hey, I'm reading the book about Snowman, Harry DeLeyer. Has anybody read that? And every woman is like, I'm reading it, or I've read it. And, of course, I'm like, oh, my God, I love that book. And then it becomes this 15-minute conversation on horseback, riding through Norco, about how wonderful this book is.
See, that's the reach that that this had, and the book is very popular in the horse world right now, as you know. But you can get that book. By the way, that book would probably—it's called The $80 Champion, and that book would make a terrific Christmas gift, don't you think?
Yes, and I guess, can you get it on Amazon?
Yeah, you can. You can get it on Amazon. It's called The $80 Champion: Snowman, the Horse That Inspired a Nation. Elizabeth Letts, L-E-T-T-S, was the author. And actually, if you want to go back and listen to the interview we did with Elizabeth, it was on 9/26, was the date, September 26th was the date that we did that interview, and it was episode number 236. So you can check that out. On another note here, before we get to our guest, there is a new, and I don't know if you've heard this yet, there is a new trailer for the movie Warhorse. Did you hear this one yet?
I did not. No, I've seen that there was one, but excuse me.
Bless
oh my
you.
Gosh. but no, I didn't want to watch it because I'm so afraid that somebody's going to give away the ending.
This trailer actually has little interview or has little quotes from the actors that were in the movie, and I have the audio here, so take a listen.
About our strength, bravery,
loyalty,
humanity.
You're not alone, are you? Because I'm here.
Warhorse is about what connects us.
You keep looking after Joey, and I'll always be looking after you.
It's about friendship and how difficult it is to be separated from those you love.
There's a war coming.
He's my officer.
I promise him that I'll look after him closely as you've done, and return him to your care.
Wherever you are, I will find you, and I will bring you home.
It is an honor to ride beside you. Be brave! Be brave!
an incredibly intense loyalty between the horse and the boy.
So you get an odyssey for both of them through the First World War.
Kind of an horse, be my guess.
He never gave up. And he does that for us.
It's an emotional journey about perseverance.
This horse can pull through anything.
It's about never letting go of what matters most.
Wherever your life is, the home is the place to which everybody returns. And that's right at the heart of this film.
There he is, War Horse. He's a symbol of hope and unfailing courage.
War Horse.
Miraculous Horse.
Rated PG-13. In theaters everywhere Christmas Day.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? Doesn't matter where you go, I'll find you. I'll bring you home. Ah, I get goosebumps just even thinking about it. I can't wait for Christmas to come.
There's something about that movie. There is something about the music in Steven Spielberg movies that just gives you goosebumps and makes you want. The music alone makes you want to see a Steven Spielberg movie. It's just good.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I'm so excited. Hey, before we get to our guest, I posted a picture. I took a bunch of pictures when we were at Dominique Zebras R Us, and I gave you my phone. I gave somebody else my camera. I'm like, just snap away. Well, lo and behold, somebody snapped the greatest picture of me with the baby zebra ever. And it is, I didn't even notice it till I was showing Chad the pictures, and he's like, oh my God.
I just saw it. That's funny.
Look at the zebra. Look at the zebra. I'm like, what? He goes, he's smiling for the camera.
Right,
I posted it on Facebook. The zebra is actually, like, you look at me showing my teeth and smiling, and then the zebra is doing the same thing. Classic.
That's a funny picture. That's pretty good. And it's a baby zebra, too.
I know. Oh, it's great. So, oh, that's so funny.
That is cute. All right, let's get to our guest. He worked as the head coachman to the Duke and Edinburgh and the Royal Mews of Windsor Castle, England. And he was with him for many, many years. He's one of the most popular guests that we have here on the morning show every time. Terrific storyteller, and we wanted to have him on this morning to talk a little bit about what it was like to be with royalty at Christmas time. And so, of course, we're talking about David Saunders. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Terrific. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate you being here, as always. And, you know, you were in a unique position where you were with royalty around the holidays. So we wanted to – you're the only one we know that was. So we wanted to have you on to talk about what that was like and how they really celebrate the holidays. Is it any different than anybody else? And I'm sure you have some stories for us about that.
Well, it's slightly different, obviously. And, of course, their holiday time was kind of our work time because, obviously, when they were on vacation, it was the time when they wanted to do things with horses. So we were kind of busy then, but it was fascinating. One thing that Her Majesty does do, I can only talk about the time when I was there. Things may have changed now with these tighter times, but when I was there, Her Majesty gives every single person in her employ a Christmas present every year. So around June, July time, you get a note, a memo from the royal household asking you kind of what you want within a certain budget range. And, of course, the longer you're there, the more they spend on you. But actually, the present really isn't the nice part of it. The nice part of it is I was, for instance, based at Windsor Castle, so we were given our presents in the music room, which overlooks the East Terrace, which overlooks the runway 3 of Heathrow Airport at Windsor Castle. So it was the actual receiving of the present was actually nicer than the actual present itself.
Wow, that is something else. Now, that is so funny that the Queen asked for, my mother-in-law asked me starting January what I want for Christmas. So the Queen starts in about June?
Yes, about June you kind of get that request. But as I say, the present isn't the part. The part is that you start off in the bowels of the castle, as it were, on the stone floors in the kind of lower echelons of the castle, and you kind of line up in departments. And of course, the Royal Mews, which was the department I was in at Windsor Castle, consisted of His Royal Highness. The Prince of Wales' polo ponies, the Queen's riding horses, the stud grooms department, and then, of course, the Duke of Edinburgh's driving horses. So there was kind of three departments there in the mews. And as I say, you would start on these stone floors and gradually wend your way up these back staircase, going through linoleum to cheap carpet, to nice carpet, to really, really nice carpet, to polished buffed parquet flooring. So it was kind of interesting as you kind of wended your way up to heaven, as it were, to see the Queen. And then, of course, you would arrive at this antechamber and page of the presence, because the Queen has two pages of the presence. There's lots of pages, but there's only two pages of the presence, and they're in the presence of Her Majesty all the time. He's standing at the doorway, and he'll confirm who you are, and poke his head around the corner, and when the previous person has left, he will announce you, and I would be announced as His Royal Highness, the Duke of Edinburgh's coachman, Mr. David Edward Saunders. And you'd march through this door, and the music room is huge. It's obviously a dance floor with a huge grand piano in the center of the room, and standing at the piano would be Her Majesty, obviously, and His Royal Highness Prince Philip. And you'd walk up, and the Queen would say Merry Christmas, and Prince Philip would say, you know, and a Happy New Year, and then you would move on. But generally, the day after Christmas, we would be going to Sandringham with the horses, and the Queen and the whole family would go to Sandringham then, for Christmas. So Prince Philip would always say, oh, don't forget this, or which horses are you taking, or blah, blah, blah. So generally, I would get a little bit of more extra time than anybody else. So it was kind of interesting, that was.
Wow, that's incredible. So you mean that the Queen has a royal shopper?
Has the royal what?
Has a royal shopper to go out and buy all the gifts? I want to be the Queen's royal shopper.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. But actually, the interesting part was as you're launched across this, which seems like acres and acres of dance floor, it's actually probably only 20 yards to the Queen, you're kind of walking towards her thinking, you know, I must remember what to say, and I mustn't trip, and I mustn't do this, and I mustn't do that. So it was kind of fascinating, but that was the more formal times. Once we got to Sandringham, obviously when the Queen was actually celebrating Christmas, you know, she would ride out and come and visit the horses in the stables and talk to you and share the holiday with you in a much more informal way. But that was her kind of formal Christmas face, as it were.
So you had to work on the holiday. Did you have to work on Christmas Day?
Oh, yes, yeah. Obviously, yeah. The horses need taking care of. And I remember one time we were at Sandringham, and it was Christmas Eve, I believe it was, and the door, there was a knock at the door, and it was the head chauffeur, the Queen's head chauffeur, and there was a handwritten note, I've still got it actually, and it was from Prince Philip, saying that, we're having a photograph taken tomorrow, could you bring the four horses with the Balmoral dog cart, which was the carriage we were driving, because it had like a Balmoral tartan on it, in such and such a harness. I'll leave the horses up to you, but be there at a certain time, blah, 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 blah. This was 11 o'clock at night. So the next morning I arrived there with the horses and my two lads, and it's a family shot of the whole royal family on horseback. And, of course, Prince Philip jumps up and holds the reins, and I tell my two lads to get out of the picture, and I'm holding the leaders, and I try to kind of duck down and kind of be out of camera shot. And the Queen says to me, "Saunders, what are you doing?" And I said, "Trying to get out of the shot, ma'am." And she says, "Just turn round and smile." So I turn around and smile, and that picture to this day is in the Queen's study at Windsor Castle, and the only animals that aren't royal are me and all the horses. All the rest of the humans in the shot are royal family. So that was kind of cute. It was kind of a nice little moment that's captured forever, if you see what I mean.
That's funny. Shut up. Turn around and smile.
The other thing that the Queen would do as well at Buckingham Palace, and we'd always go up for it, the Queen would have carol singers singing in the Royal Mews, in the quadrangle in the Royal Mews, and we would, not me, but the horses in the Mews would be, in the Mews in London that is, a pair of greys would be put to a sleigh on wheels, and they would bring in Father Christmas, and all the kids would get presents, and there'd be hot chestnuts, and you know, the whole of, you know, the Royal Mews would be kind of singing carols and petting the horses and having rides around on the sleigh. And of course, in them days, you know, all the older royals now were much younger, so, you know, you'd be standing next to anybody, you know, Prince Edward or the Queen or Prince Philip, and they'd all kind of join us for a carol singing evening at the Royal Mews at Buckingham Palace. As I say, I don't know whether they do that now, but they certainly did it when I was there.
That's something else.
I'll jump in here real quick because, you know, talking to you and listening to you tell these stories, you almost intimidate me because I find, like, I mean, you have been there and done that, and millions of people around the world have never heard any of these stories. And like you said, you keep the note from Prince Philip, and these are all amazing relics of the royal family. But you're telling these stories. Do you get in trouble for this stuff or what?
Well, I really don't think so. I mean, obviously, I might lose my pension. I might lose my £25 a month royal pension when I get it. But I don't think so because, you know, I think it's just relating what actually happened, and it's not it's nothing embarrassing or outrageous or anything. I think it's the Queen doing her job as an employer and as a mother, enjoying Christmas with the people she enjoys being with. And I think the people she enjoys being with the most, well, when I was there, was the people that took care of her horses, because she is very passionate about her horses. So anyone that has anything to do with horses, I think, has a direct affinity with the Queen's affection. So I don't know. I'll let you know when I'm 65 and I get I get no money from the Royal Mews. I'll have to pass my hat round. I'll have to start a charity for distressed royal coachmen.
Hey, David, I just noticed that the Queen just spent $770,000 on a new racehorse, so she's still very much into her horses.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Another interesting little snippet. Years ago, obviously, 25 years ago, we were at Sandringham, and Prince Philip came down to drive the horses one day, and he said, guess what I got from Her Majesty for Christmas? And I kind of took a breath, and I thought, now, how do you answer that question? What does the Queen get her husband for Christmas? And I thought, well, be diplomatic, David. So I said, I have no idea, sir. What did Her Majesty buy you for Christmas? And he said, oh, come and have a look. So we went to the back of his Range Rover and looked in the back, and there was this video camera. And, of course, the video camera was kind of, you know, much bigger than they are today. But, of course, the battery was like a suitcase. But that kind of set Prince Philip off on this videoing thing. So we kind of, which was actually very good, because at the time we were competing, you know, at CDE's combined driving events. And so it was a really useful tool for us to record, you know, our training exercises and when we were at competitions and stuff like that. But it was fascinating that it was a present from the Queen. You know, all I got was an atlas or something like that year. I didn't get a video camera, but
Now, David, something struck me that you just said right there is, does he always refer to the Queen as Her Majesty?
Yes. He'll either refer to her as Her Majesty or the Queen. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Not my wife.
Wow.
No. I'm afraid the Queen is the Queen, and there's no way around it. The only time there was another queen on the scene, as it were, was when Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, you know, the Queen's mother was alive, and she was, in effect, a queen as well, but she was referred to as Queen Elizabeth. But she was the actual Queen's mother, but she was Her Majesty the Queen. There were actually only two Majesties, and that, you could only be Your Majesty if you're the Queen or the King. Everybody else is Your Royal Highness.
Okay. Wow. Now, you mentioned that he got the video camera and you got an atlas. Now, what was the normal Christmas gift from the Queen? And was it usually what you ask for in June?
Yes. You were normally given a spending amount, and you could ask for kind of what you wanted. And basically you kind of got it. Most people would ask for like a gift certificate so they could actually go and get what they wanted from one of the big departmental stores like Harrods or somewhere like that, Fortnum & Mason or something like that. So most people got, you know, some sort of voucher or something like that so that they could go and get what they wanted. But the actual present wasn't important. Actually, the more important thing, and I kind of over the 20 years I was there, was the actual Christmas cards you got. The other thing that His Royal Highness and Her Majesty did was have a personal signed card, Christmas card, personally signed by them to her kind of staff, as it were. And I've kind of got all them. And they were really quite nice because they were mostly personal pictures that had been taken, for Christmas, and were shared only with her personal staff. So the Christmas card was probably more of the exciting part.
Wow, that's really neat. Now, I have a question for you about the staff. Did the staff become family? You guys traveled to the different places together. You worked together. You probably ate together. Did you get to know all the other staff and you guys all become like a family as well?
Yes, you kind of got to know them. Obviously, some staff, there was a turnover in, as it were, because people would go to work at for the Queen for so long just to kind of get it onto their resume,
that's
and
amazing.
Then they would leave. But generally, the system was broken down to staff, and then there was the steward's room, so you were a steward level, and then the officials. So I was kind of in the middle. I would eat in the steward's room. So I would mix with, you know, the valets, the pages, the chefs, the sous chefs, the head chauffeurs, the deputy head chauffeur, head coachman, people like that. And of course, you'd all have to work together because, Prince Philip would say to me one weekend, "Oh, I'm bringing a guest driving next weekend." And I say, "Okay, sir, no problem." But, of course, I had no idea who that was, and I wouldn't bother him with the detail. So I would call the pages vestibule and talk to one of the pages that I knew, the pages of the presents, and say, who's staying at the castle next week? And they'd say, "Oh, it's so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And who's going to be His Royal Highness's guest on the carriage?" And they'd tell me, and I'd say, "Okay, who's taking care of them?" And I would find out who's taking care of them, if it was a lady in waiting or a dresser or a page or whoever. And I would just make sure that they would tell their principal, their guest, you know, to make sure that, you know, they have a hat on, they have gloves on, you know, that they have shoes that are capable of climbing up on a carriage with, not high heel shoes or mini skirts, that sort of thing. I know it sounds kind of a little bit ridiculous, but you kind of have to make sure that, you know, no one's embarrassed and everything is taken care of. So they would call me back and say, "Oh, so-and-so and so-and-so is coming, and she wonders, you know, what color she should wear." And I'd say, "Well, the carriages are this and the that and the other." And we would just, between us stewards, would make sure that the royals and their guests were caused as little pain as possible, if you see what I mean, so that we'd make sure that when they arrived to drive out with the Queen or Prince Philip, that everything was ready for them and there was no surprises.
Wow. So you were a fashion consultant too, David?
Well, not really a fashion consultant, but the job of being a professional coachman, people think it's just driving horses. Well, you know, that's only, it is a great part of it, but it's only a part of it. As I say, I always remember when, at the time, Sarah Ferguson, who was then engaged to the Duke of York, Prince Edward, Prince Andrew, and Prince Philip said, "Oh, I've guessed next week," and I found out who it was. And of course, in my youth, when I was 17, 18, I used to shoe horses. I was an RSS, a registered shoeing smith, and I shod horses. And we used to go to a place called Dumber Down and shoe polo ponies for this Major Ferguson. And, of course, his daughter was Sarah Ferguson. And, of course, I always remember this little red-headed child bugging me to shoe her pony. And, of course, I thought no more of it until we got the horses ready. And, of course, round came the corner, Prince Philip and this beautiful Titian-haired beauty, Sarah Ferguson. And, of course, His Royal Highness said, "Oh, this is my coachman, David Saunders, Sarah Ferguson." Of course, Sarah Ferguson said, "Oh, David, how are you? How lovely to see you again, blah, 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 blah." Of course, she remembered me from all those years ago, so that was kind of a treat. But it was a very interesting 20 years, I can tell you that.
Interesting is an understatement, David. I can listen to you tell these stories all day. It's just amazing stuff. And it's amazing,
go on.
I was just going to say, it's something like, for us in the United States, it's something out of a book. We realize the Queen is there, but when you talk about footmen and ladies-in-waiting, that's all stuff out of movies for us. We don't imagine it still happens.
Well, but to us, it was part of the system. It's kind of like being in the military or in the Navy or at a big hotel or any big company. You know, everyone has a particular job to do, and they have to do it to the best of their ability. And people are given, you know, whether you're a CEO or a plumber or an electrician or a footman or a lady in waiting or whatever it is, it's a job that you have to do to make the system work correctly and well.
Huh. That's amazing. Well, David, thank you again. We appreciate you coming on to share some of your memories of Christmas time with the royal family. And now this year, where will you be spending Christmas?
I'll be in Florida, sunny Florida.
Okay. The weather will be a little better, probably.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I hope you get to drive on Christmas Day. I know that's something that all of us horse people, we love to spend time with horses on Christmas Day. So I hope you get to that. And happy holidays, David, and thank you so much for coming on again.
Thank you for having me, Glenn. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, David. Oh, awesome.
Isn't that cool to listen to?
I mean, he doesn't understand, Glenn, because it was his life. That listening to him is like being a part of a Jane Austen novel. Okay? I mean, it's like Pride and Prejudice to, like, come live, you know, to have the Queen and to have, you know, so many parts of the coachman. It just listening to his stories, it's like, I mean, seriously, like, I feel like I'm in a Jane Austen movie.
It is. You know, and when he was talking about coachmen and ladies-in-waiting, you just think back to the movies. I mean, you don't actively think in your mind that they really still exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's something of the time, you know, when I used to perform and do reenactments of medieval times. That's what you think about. You don't think about it actually happening today. Well, he is such a good sport to come on and tell us the stories of Christmases. Hopefully, throughout this Christmas season, we can bring others to you that have neat Christmas stories as well that involve horses. And Lisa Rogers just posted on our page, "I just ordered $80 Champions for Amazon. It must be a must-read. Thanks for mentioning it. It definitely is, Lisa. You will enjoy that. And also, if you know people that haven't gotten it yet, it would make a great Christmas gift as well. And we're not paid to do advertisements for this book. It's just a good book. Thank you to David. And we really appreciate it.
I did want to say, you know, if you do go to Amazon, of course, go to horsesinthemorning.com first. Click on the Amazon link. Then do your shopping. I'm sure Lisa did that because we've told her about that before. Because then, you know, we get a little kickback to help out the Horse Radio Network. Hey, speaking of helping out, you remember last year, we're going to have to get her on again. Rerun announced its annual holiday auction of Monets.
That's the paintings the horses do.
Yeah, the paintings the horses do, and it actually ended yesterday. The auction did. We were too out of town during the whole thing, but the theme of the auction was competition at its best, and it kind of it puts all these horses that somehow, like Kevin Bacon, 7 degrees of separation or whatever. All these horses are connected to each other at some point. They've raced against each other. Like they had. From the Kentucky Derby, Street Sense, who was first, Hard Spun came in second, Curlin was third, and Cowtown Cat came in last. But all of those guys painted a painting for these Monet auctions. So we'll have to get them on from Rerun and find out how much money was raised and how come they didn't let us know it was coming. Because I clearly got outbid for Zenyatta's Monet last year. And it kind of made me mad, but it went to like thousands of dollars. But in this one, they had Big Brown was a part of it, Colonel John, Kitten's Joys, Bernardini, the baby daddy for Zenyatta.
Oh, yeah.
Monarcos, Medaglia de Oro, lots of amazing horses. So you can go to rerun.org to learn more about that. Unfortunately, the auction ended yesterday, so just have to get an update. And remember how awesome the cards are that they send out. Last year, I mailed, and I still have a couple of them because you have to be pretty worthy to get one of my Rerun Monet thank you cards. I've only sent out a couple. I hold on to them pretty close.
I'm surprised you sent out any, to be honest with you.
I sent out one to the girl who was a maid of honor in my wedding to thank her for being my maid of honor, and she's a Zenyatta fan. That's it. No more. I still have all the Zenyatta ones.
I noticed you wearing your Zenyatta hat last week when we were in California.
Well, I just had to now. That was a gift from Rebecca Klopping for Christmas last year. So, by the way, I would like to thank you for giving me a new Briar horse. I have a collection of the Briar race horses, and Glenn gave me Barbaro when we were together for Christmas. So I do appreciate the Barbaro Briar. It's awesome, and I like read the little pamphlet that goes with it yesterday, and I cried.
Oh, jeez. You're so squishy. Hey, do you remember that car dealer down in Florida that did that traded a horse in for a car? Remember we had that story, and it was the terrible ad that they put together, and I played the sound from that terrible ad. Well, they've done a second one.
Oh, my God.
They did a second one. A second horse was traded in now for an automobile at this dealership in Pinellas Park, Florida. For the second time in 3 months, it was a 9-year-old appendix gelding, and they traded it for a 2002, I don't even know what this car is. It's a Daewoo Nuribi? I don't even know what that is. So, anyway, they traded their horse for a car, and they needed a car, so they had too many horses. So now he has a second one that this guy's becoming a regular horse dealer down there at this auto dealership. And side note,
Okay, hold on. You can't just skip over that story and not let me make a comment on it. Seriously? What? For a Daewoo Nubira? A Daewoo.
And what the heck is that, by the way? I don't have any idea.
It's probably not worth a 9-year-old quarter horse, okay? Okay.
I'm looking it up now to see what the heck one is. It just looks like a little car.
It's just a little crap car. And what kind of... Okay, you're either incredibly hard up, just hard up, and you need a car so bad, or you're just a really bad person. To drop off your horse at a car dealership and hand it over, not knowing who or where or what or why is going to take care of it. What kind of person are you to do that? And I'm glad this guy that has the car dealership thinks this is funny, because he says in the article, we're willing to consider almost anything that has value as a trade. He's so hard up trying to sell cars that he's trading for horses. Does he have any idea how to take her? This makes me mad. Can you tell?
Actually, I think they ended up getting the last horse a nice home, according to the article. They ended up with a nice home. So,
well, they're not going to say we sent them to the killers. I mean, they're not going to write, hey, by the way, that horse we accepted last time, we ended up shooting him and eating him. Great. Like, they're going to write that down.
Always assuming the worst there, Jamie. Always assuming the worst.
I know.
Maybe he likes horses. He may have a great big farm and they're living happily ever after. See, I'm trying to think positive. Hey, there was one other note, too. We want to send our best out to jockey Jorge Chavez, who was unseated during the ninth race at Aqueduct on Sunday, December the 4th. Yesterday, he was actually, he hit pretty hard. He was actually diagnosed with a broken collarbone, he broke some ribs, and he fractured two vertebrae. He's going to be out for 5 months, they said, but he's apparently in good spirits. But in a lot of pain, and he's a 50-year-old. Chavez is actually a little older than most jockeys. He's 50 years old, and he was from Peru, and he's been on the circuit for a long time. He was the winner of the 1999 Eclipse Award as the nation's outstanding jockey. So our best to Jorge Chavez, and we hope he gets better soon. What a life, though. These guys, it's just not if you're going to get hurt at some point really bad. It's when you're going to get hurt really bad. When you're at the end of life of a jock.
It's definitely a tough way to make a living. Now, one more final story before we go. Just want to let everybody know, do you remember us talking to Frankie Lovato about We Miss Frankie?
Yes, the horse, We Miss Frankie.
There's a horse named We Miss Frankie who ran in the Breeders' Cup. Now, I have received word from We Miss Frankie herself, by the way. She said that she would love to have her owners come on the show with us because we're Facebook friends, We Miss Frankie and I, and so I Facebooked her, and I was like, hey, why don't your people come on? She's like, yeah, I'll have my people call your people. Well, she's running in another race on when is this race called? December 10th. She's going to run in the $25,000 Hollywood Starlet Grade 1 Stakes race on December 10th, and she's been training very well. So I think she's got a good chance. I think she's going to do it, and we're going to try to get her owners on. How about that?
That sounds terrific. We have to have Frankie on at the same time. Got to meet his namesake, right? He's got to meet the owners of his namesake. We Miss Frankie.
Actually, not his namesake. They actually named – it's just a really sweet story we'll have to have them tell about how they named We Miss Frankie, and it's about a lost friend of theirs. So it's a great story. We'll have to have them on, and We Miss Frankie running on the 10th. Go, We Miss Frankie!
All right, we'll be back again tomorrow morning with another show for you at 9 a.m. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you listening. We hope you enjoyed the stories of Reigning and the Royal Muse. And we will, as I said, be back again tomorrow. Don't forget to get your ads in for really bad ads. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Be back Friday with really bad ads.
Lisa Rogers says a Daewoo is a throwaway car. They don't even sell that brand in the United States anymore.
All you Daewoo lovers out there, you can send your emails to Lisa. Thank you very much.
Exactly. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Glenn, are you off tomorrow?
No, actually, I'm here.
You're going to be here. Okay, well, that sounds good. Well, everybody, please have a great day. Remember, spay, neuter, and geld. Short and arranged today, Glenn. My horse gets a day off.